doing the same thing day in and day out. And so, so part of your transformation, part of your journey into what you're doing now and in writing this book, is that longing and discontent that we talk about in life coaching. Would you agree?
100% agree. Very, very well put. That's exactly where I was on so many levels. So many levels. I'll dive into any of that you wish to ask me about, certainly. It was a lot of discontent.
Welcome. I'm Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Every day, you give so much of yourself to those you love. Through this podcast, I'll guide you on a journey to reawaken the greatness that lies within you. In each episode, you'll hear incredible stories of transformation from me and my guests that will inspire you to design and manifest a life that is in harmony with your soul's purpose. You are meant to live the life you'd love. Let me show you how. Welcome, everyone. This is To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis. And I am Dawn Mathis, the owner and founder of In Situ Lifeworks. Thanks for joining us today. I am so happy to have a friend of mine, a fellow life coach, on this call with me today. Her name is Carrie Castle. She's from Canada. And I just wanted to tell you a little bit about her, and then Carrie will jump right in. Welcome, by the way.
Thank you, Dawn. Oh, what a pleasure to be here. It's so exciting. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Carrie is an internationally known professional author. She is a sought-after keynote speaker, certified life coach, as I was saying, and a registered dietitian for over 30 years. Before she was a dietitian, she studied alternative medicine, and her focus in nutrition, health, and wellness were in cardiac disease, diabetes, and sports nutrition with the International Olympic Committee. Carrie has served on boards or as a chair for national and international health organizations. She helps others, like you and me, find their optimal well-being with a blend of coaching strategies and a holistic approach to nutrition. Carrie has been featured in well-known magazines, newsletters, TV interviews, commercials, and success story spotlights. She is an achiever in all walks of life, having completed full marathons, oh my goodness, and adventure races, traveled the world, been a successful business entrepreneur, and most importantly, a mom to her daughter. Is that Shauna?
Sienna.
Sorry.
Sienna. Mm-hmm.
I thought I was being all cool getting it right. Sienna, it's a beautiful name. And yes. A mom to her bonus boys, Tyler and Riley, as well as wife to their dad, Stephen. Wow. Thank you, Carrie, for being here.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Really, I mean, I'm so excited about talking to you about what's going on in your life right now. And I wanted to share with everyone that you have a new book coming soon that we've talked about. Called The Domino Diet. When is that book going to be available?
Well, you know, July, we think, is a pretty strong bet. I'm optimistic that by the end of July, for sure. If it happens to be near to the beginning, all the better. July of this year.
And I remember, I believe we talked about this book on the pilgrimage that you and I had joined to Israel, February of 2020. Gosh, I have to think about it. And you were coming up with different title names, and you chose The Domino Diet. What is the vision behind that title?
Well, to be honest with you, it chose me, I think. It was in the middle of the night, waking up and having this you know, the sort of with the insight, inspiration. And I could see these dominoes, and I could see this effect, the domino effect occurring. And I have to just say that as a dietitian for 30 years, I actually came to a place of not very, very fulfilled in that career, feeling like there were so many missing pieces. So to hear the word domino diet come to me in the middle of the night, I fought with it. I didn't really want to associate to a dietitian title. But then,
because it's a four letter word, isn't it?
Yeah. With that, and I felt like it would be an expectation of menus and the things I'd already done. And I was so excited to teach life coaching principles. I wasn't able to, at that very moment, see a bridge. But then as the night sort of progressed, I could see it. I should have woke up in the middle of the night and really jotted things down. Mm-hmm. So it did come to me after the fact that there's a formula. It's been created, the domino diet formula, technically speaking. And so the title found me, for lack of better words. And it took a while for me to embrace it, but now it's sticking.
That's good. That's good. I mean, it's kind of catchy. I mean, if you're going to use the four-letter word, if you're going to use that four-letter word, I like how it flows, the domino diet. So let me ask you this.
Yes.
So you were unfulfilled after so many years doing the same thing day in and day out. And so part of your transformation, part of your journey into what you're doing now and in writing this book, it is that longing and discontent that we talk about in life coaching. Would you agree?
100% agree. Very, very well put. That's exactly where I was on so many levels. So many levels. I'll dive into any of that you wish to ask me about, certainly. Well, it was a lot of discontent.
Yeah. And well, and you and I both coach into helping people get in touch with the life they would love living. And sometimes we have to reverse engineer it. I know before I became a coach and before I went to training to be a coach, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew what I didn't want to do. And then as I started thinking about what I didn't want to do, the whole discontent thing, then the longing, I was able to uncover that longing. And so just a side plug for what life coaching can do for you, it can help you discover what that passion is that you may not even know you had. And is that what happened to you a little bit?
Definitely. The longing and discontent became strong with, but I didn't have the tools as a life coach at the time. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't really invest in that type of support at the time. So that longing for me meant retire. Yeah. But I could still feel this niggling that there was something in me still. I just didn't know if I had it in me to do another degree, another. I didn't know where to go with it. And right. Again, it found me, to be honest with you. I was about to throw in the towel. It was just donezo, because the fulfillment and the impact that I was really wanting to have as a dietitian and thought I had no longer was occurring to the level that I needed to see to feel satisfied and to even have clients and feel like it was worthwhile. I felt fraudish, actually, without the results I wanted my passion to be behind. And feeling like a fraud, that wasn't in my books. That wasn't going to happen. Right. And so thank goodness life coach tools came along, and I was able to build a bridge between them both. That becomes a book.
And the dream building tools and all that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you personally struggled with your own wellness? I mean, so I guess what I'm asking is this business endeavor born out of your own challenges? Wellness.
It definitely has pieces of that, because it was summers around turning 40 that I entered menopause early. And now you kindly read my bio, which said something about marathon running.
Yes.
Well, that started to come to a bit of a screeching halt, we'll say. Menopause began to change my sleeping, change my joie de vivre, we call it, the joy for life. It started to morph into this desire of vitality was changing. And at the end of the day, I didn't feel like I was being the complete role model that I wanted to be. And certainly, you know, my perception was that I had been. Here I am, a dietitian, walking the talk, I'm running marathons, I'm doing this wonderful billboard look, I thought. And then I realized, now looking back, you know, it's much easier to fit some of those things into your life until you hit a certain business career or children and bonus children. And all that was twirling into my life. And as that was happening, running wasn't. And I didn't feel like a billboard anymore. I felt quite the opposite and didn't have the energy. And so my own wellness wasn't being fixed with the typical curriculum of diets. Or the diet world that I was accustomed to. But I come to find out that's because it's been backwards. There's been missing pieces, and we've been focused on the results instead of where they come from. And so I guess I had to learn the way I learn, which is my practical, the hard school.
Yep.
And it brought me to a place of relatability. So I can understand now more than anything why the discontent is there, why the longing, and why it's difficult for some to actually implement the teaching, and why diets have a 3% success rate.
Oh,
and was despite that 3%? All the diets on the planet, 3% success rate.
Oh, my goodness.
And despite all of the many, 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 many diets, for whether you're in a profession or not, with the knowledge behind it or not, the disease trends are going upwards. And I did not feel my curriculum was enough of an impact to change those results at the time. Wow. So it was a combination of my own, a combination of seeing the truth all of a sudden that I had blinders on beforehand, too young, too not enough experience. I'm not really sure. Combination.
So kind of an epiphany, but like, yikes. Wow. What I'm doing isn't making the impact that I thought it would. And
It was so sad. Yeah, that was so sad. I lost my purpose. I lost my way, and feeling lost like that. And I was now entering, you know, 45 probably by this point, getting close to 50. And thought, well, I guess you retire if you, you know, what's the point in another career? I was not sure, but I didn't even know really about this life coach world enough about it. And well, thank goodness it found me. I found it. And here we are.
Yes. So, yeah, I just think it's amazing that you're using your life coaching tools with your holistic approach to nutrition. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing to look back and see the stepping stones that were there that I didn't. You know, there's a saying, you don't know the dots till you look back. You know, you connect the dots after the fact. Well, now I can see them. I had an alternative medicine background. That meant I was a slightly different thinker and more openness to holistic. Now, there's two different ways of looking at holistic. And the life coach hat, as you know, is seeing the person whole, seeing them in a relationship, in a work job scenario, and the unsatisfaction of a relationship and why there's emotional eating. So I knew about the eating. I knew some good techniques, but I didn't know how to bridge your emotional side to the emotional eating. And that now, you know, that these tools, as you know, as a life coach, that kind of all together. It's all part and parcel as a whole, holistic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what would you tell the listeners that are with us today? What are some of the key building blocks to optimal health and wellness?
Well, I'll tell you the domino diet formula, because I think that's how I see the building blocks.
Sure.
Yeah, it'll sound somewhat familiar to you, but it's expanded. So it starts with your thoughts. Everything starts with your thoughts. As you know, everything is energy, and everything, every idea, every currency, every item that our desks, the chairs we're sitting on, are all ideas that came into fruition. So everything starts with a thought. Now, in a scientific world, I'm adding that your thoughts create how you breathe. Whether you're in a frantic way of thinking or whether you're in a calm way of thinking, is going to produce a different breath technique. And we just are so habitual of our breathing. We don't even pay attention necessarily, mm-hmm. but it's usually one of two systems. It's either the fight, flight, or what I call the R&R, which is rest, digest, and create, or the scientific name, parasympathetic.
Right.
And it's that breathing that ignites a hormonal cascade. That hormonal cascade is either the fight, flight, so that you can flee from the mammoth, which doesn't really hardly exist today anyway, or it is to breathe and rest, digest, and create, meaning rest, digest, keyword right there, and create. That hormonal cascade is what actually triggers your feelings. It's not the other way around. And the feelings then create your actions. They dictate a lot of your actions, then the results. And a lot of people think, I felt like having the chocolate, I felt like eating the chips, but it's actually way back over at the thoughts. And what I believe to be building blocks is realizing that there's hope in not just looking at the end result and seeing that there's a whole plethora of ways you can step towards a whole new you by starting with the inside out with your thinking.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I've never heard it described that way by anyone in your field, that about the breath or about thoughts for that matter. I mean, it's just like, hello. So it's great. It yeah, makes so yeah. much sense. So, I attended a class, several months ago, but I guess it's been longer than that because of COVID, about how, and I can't remember exactly what it was, and I was wondering if your book speaks to this. What keeps people, what keeps them from starting healthier practices or from maintaining them once they start?
Okay, well, the starting often is connected to, I mean, we have two primary emotions, love or fear. And so generally speaking, if something's not happening in your favor, go straight to what the fear is. You could dial into what would I love. That is probably a tool you've spoken about. But knowing that fear is probably lurking and, you know, keeping you stuck. And there's four hidden fear barriers. There's maybe more in other people's minds, but this is through readings and research and what I've written in the book. And the first one will be either feeling fundamentally flawed or fear of failure or the fear of a burden of success, such as burnout, or the fear of outshining. And if you have one of those fears, or maybe you might have a combination of all of them, like most of us, including me, but one might be a little bit more rearing, it just stands out a bit more. Mine was definitely a fear of a burden of success towards the end. And that can often just play in our minds as paradigms, is probably a word that you've used often as well. Mm-hmm. And they create little sabotages before you even begin, much as to your question.
Yes.
And the maintenance part is a combination of those fears as well. I mean, how you're receiving response from people. But I believe maintenance has a bit of a mirage effect. It's a moving target, and our perception of it is skewed. It's like anyone who wins a lottery, anyone who gets married, anyone who loses weight. There really isn't one dynamic, oh my gosh, now I'm happy now. It's way too, as I said, dynamic, and especially with health, a maintenance of a weight, for instance, or a maintenance of a health regime. You go for a walk one day and not the next day, that's already a change in the dynamic of your health. You drank more water that day, or you went out for supper that day. All of it is a moving, dynamic, vital part of our life. And we, I think, believe that maintenance is a fixed number. And it's just not possible. It's just not possible. So I think we need to get our mind set around maintenance different than what the diet world has dictated, or at least taught us. And then I think we'd have softer guidelines around that, and maybe a little bit more forgiveness on how dynamic it is and accepting it, and create a bit of a buffer around that.
Yeah. Well said. Love it. So what, for the people that will be listening to this podcast, what are some strategies you might recommend to someone who's just feeling like, I'm just not where I want to be health-wise? Maybe it's weight. Maybe it's their weight is okay, but they're just not eating well, or, you know, their energy level is down, or they're working so hard they feel like they can't take lunch. What are some strategies that you would recommend to someone who might be struggling and who doesn't want to wait till July for your book?
Well, a couple of things come to mind. I mean, there's so many. Many have been told before, the keep it simple method, of course, mm-hmm. being one of them. But go a little bit deeper, and sometimes that discouragement is a loss of hope. And yes. I like to first bring hope back. And so here's how I like to approach it. Book or no book, this is something I want everybody to know. I'm a dietitian on a mission to bring the heel back in health. And
love that.
To know that right now as we sit, we have brand new baby red blood cells that have been birthed today. But we also have many that are being released. They're gone. They're done now. Every 120 days, you have a new batch of red blood cells. So what I like to do is have the person visualize that they could technically approach health from a holistic way in terms of how you eat, how you find support, your environment, walking outside, and just approach a positive thinking, and that those red blood cells can be up-leveled. Now think about it this way. When you go to the doctor, you're having your lab measure, your body measured in terms of health, it's done with lab work, and it's usually red blood cells that are measured. So they're a very good indicator of how we're doing. And they run everywhere in our body. They run from head to toe, from cell to cell, to every organ. And they communicate with one another. And there are studies that show that if you eat healthier fatty acids, for instance, those membranes on those cells are stronger. Mm. And I believe that if we could see ourselves regenerating and renewing as often as that, and they're doing it even without, this is automatic. Our red blood cells are doing this. But what about when we do these extra things to up-level them? How would we feel in 3 to 4 months from small practices to up-level them? So, A, that's bringing in hope. What if you've seen yourself as renewing from the inside out? And then that you're thinking more on a vitality versus vanity level, which I think is a better place to be overall. And I would actually invite people to only do a 1 to 2 step change at a time. And one step that isn't talked about, I sort of hinted at it here moments ago, and that is just to begin by pausing before eating. Literally sit, try not to have devices, just take 3 minutes to dial into a place of, hey, look at this meal, instead of guilt. And by breathing in, as I just mentioned earlier, through your nose, and then out through your mouth, like you're blowing through a straw, you are engaging this R&R system, the parasympathetic system. Mm. Rest, digest, create. And now you're eating your meal with a different vibration. You're also going to absorb better because you're digesting better. You're not running all over the kitchen with a forkful. That leads to potential heartburn and digestive disorders. I can name them, colitis, you name it. And what if we did that and it would lower some of the hormones like cortisol and instead bring in more serotonin? Therefore, you feel fuller, faster, more fulfilled, and less stress hormone, which is fat storing. So do you see, just by breathing alone sets off this domino effect in terms of our health. And it's not something that's talked about, and yet it's simple. And nobody said anything about what you can't have.
Wow.
It's more about a being present, if you will, for lack of better words, with what you're doing at the time, which is eating.
A mindfulness.
It is.
Mindfulness, awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And changing your breathing.
We often like to know the why behind that. We might have been told, you know, be mindful of your meal, but to understand that scientific approach and that there's actually way more going on. I don't know. I think it brings a little bit of, I think I could try that. It seems simple enough, maybe. And I just invite people to try it for 1 week, one meal. Put a sticky note right on the counter next to where you normally sit for supper and begin a awareness habit. Notice if you're racing. Notice if you're calm. Notice your attitude with the food, your relationship. It's all part and parcel.
Wow. And yeah, you didn't say anything about the portion or what I'm eating. I like it.
Good, good.
Something way, way different. So I'm sure this is talked about in your book, yes?
Oh,
yeah. The breathing, the thoughts and all that.
Oh, yes.
What are some of the other topics that are covered in your book that that we already can't wait for?
Well, you know, because of my experience with menopause, I talk about menopause and nanopause, things that people don't talk about.
Menopause? What's that?
Nanopause, yeah. I talk about it's maybe not called a midlife crisis. It's more like a midlife awakening.
Oh.
I talk about the subconscious mind, which is the bulk of our mind, which is on our behalf of our survival. And it's the one saying, but I need you to eat. I need you to eat more than what you're eating. And you're starving yourself here, trying to do whatever you're trying to do for your body. And your body is meant to survive. And it's trying to feed your core, your heart, your lungs. And meanwhile, if we're looking at it from a vanity point of view, and our vanity point of view comes from the conscious mind, which is a smaller part of our mind. These two butt up against one another. And I teach you or talk about how to collaborate with the two minds that we both have. Well, we all have, sorry. So I think that's slightly unique to what most diet books speak about. As some awarenesses that I had as a dietitian and, you know, as a confession as a dietitian and seeing the curriculum sort of backwards and yet honoring the fact that nobody knew any better. And I think one of the probably the more passionate parts for me to speak about that are in the book is realizing and giving poetic license for the fact that we're new to having an abundance on this planet and that our ancestors came from scarcity. They came from rationing food. They were feeding seven kids. Healthcare was a teaspoon of cod liver oil as you walked out the door, maybe if you were lucky. Bathroom scales weren't in the house even. And when they entered the house, we didn't really know how to use them or understand them. And that we're made of 70% water, and that weighs on a scale too. Just the comprehension of having all these abundance and these tools, but not really knowing them and interpreting them and understanding them to understand with compassion. There's a lot of compare and despair going on, yet we don't understand the scale well enough. And yet that's our measuring tool, unfortunately, for who we are. It's kind of crazy if you think about it. And that I like to be able to say that scarcity and coming from a starvation, you know, thou shall not eat this, only triggers our teenager, only triggers our subconscious mind that's on behalf of our survival. And what did your teenager do when it was given a bunch of rules back in the day? And how well did that work for you? And instead, I think we need to look at it with a little bit more kindness and compassion and stop blaming it on the carbohydrates and the protein and the fat. Each one of them have had their battle in the limelight. Each one of them had their turn at being good or bad. And unless you understand micronutrients, which is a good part of the latter part of my book, you don't pick on either of those because we need them all.
Wow. Well, it sounds like a breath of fresh air for sure.
Well, thank you.
I can't wait to read it.
Me too.
And are there action steps for those of us who want to try this on? Is there a plan in there for us to play with?
Well, currently I'm running webinars to test pilot, we'll say, the show, the Domino Diet book. There will be a workbook. There will be ideally a calendar and a few tools that go alongside to help with the 120 days of your red blood cells, for instance. I'm really a big believer in calendarizing, for instance. So those will be some of the things to try on. I would say that the Facebook world and so forth, and finding my Domino Diet page introduces you to some of the pearls of wisdom, if that's what you're leading into. More to come, especially once the book is in hand. I will be doing more launching with it.
Yes, and I believe you sent me your all your contact information so that we can get that in the speaker notes and people can find you.
Wonderful.
And you did say the book, you hope the book would be available sometime in July. And where will we find it?
Well, besides the dominodiet.com webpage that will be built here at the end of the month, some final steps here. It will be on Amazon. It will be on the main platforms as well. I will definitely be reaching out to folks like yourself and doing that promo piece.
Absolutely. Well, gosh, thank you so much for your time. And we need to catch up off the podcast as well.
Yeah.
It's been too long and our world has changed so much. And I'm so happy to hear that you've continued on with this work and that it's launching soon. And I'm very, very happy for you. And I'm ecstatic that you joined us here today.
I am too. It's my pleasure.
It's so wonderful. And thank you for sharing your story with us about where you were and your own struggles. And that always helps when people see just how human and authentic people really are. So Carrie Castle, thank you so much. The Domino Diet, it's coming. Watch for it. And thank you everyone for joining us today. And this has been To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis. And I'm Dawn Mathis, your host. I'll see you next time. Take care. Thank you for joining me on To Your Greatness. If you're inspired by what you heard and are ready to take a deeper dive into your own life's purpose, I'd love to offer you a complimentary life reflection session. In this session, I'll help you get clearer about what's been holding you back and how you can rediscover the greatness that lies within you. If this is something you would love, I invite you to head to my website, toyourgreatness.net, where you can take the first step in this journey. Spots are limited, so claim yours today. You are so much more than what you do for others. I believe there is a dream inside you just waiting to be fulfilled. If you agree, I invite you to take that first step and visit www.toyourgreatness.net right now. I can't wait to meet with you. My name is Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Remember, your greatness lies within you. See you next time. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to subscribe and keep listening. Remember to like, share, and review this podcast to help other listeners like you find their way to this heart-centered community. Thank you so much.